The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus himself stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Yet for all their joy, they were still disbelieving and wondering. And he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Do you believe in ghosts? Or maybe I should ask, have you ever had an experience with a ghost? Are you afraid of ghosts? There are several different ways to quantify belief among Americans in the so-called paranormal phenomena. Now, one way is to ask a representative group of the population if they believe in ghosts. And so in a study that was done, a report on in the New York Times in 2021, 46% of the respondents said that they did believe in ghosts. Another way to ask what people fear. Nearly 10% said that they feared ghosts, and about the same percentage said that they feared zombies. And even more people say that they fear government corruption or civil unrest, but I digress. Over the years, each time there's a Gallup poll about belief in ghosts, the percentage of believers has increased from about 25% in 1990 to now nearly half of all Americans believing in the existence of ghosts. So how would you answer that question if you were asked? Now, I won't tell you my answer, but I will say that one of my favorite television shows right now is simply called Ghosts. How many people here watch Ghosts? CBS? Yay. In the pilot episode, a young couple, Sam and Jay, inherit a haunted mansion, and they are unaware of their invisible housemates. So they plan to turn this mansion into a bed and breakfast, but their lives become much more complicated after a fall causes Sam to be able to see the ghosts. Now, in its third season, we've seen these ghosts, all of whom have died on the property and are bound in this space forever. We've seen them interact in hilarious and quirky ways with each other and with the livings, Sam and Jay. But in that very first episode, when Sam had the accident that made it possible for her to hear and see the ghosts, she was terrified. She'd run from them. She'd try to hide. She thought she was seeing things or losing her mind. Now, I imagine that that's how most of us would respond if we saw a ghost, whether we believe in ghosts or not, whether it's Casper the friendly ghost or one who might cause us some harm, because interactions with ghosts are terrifying. Maybe it's because of this show Ghosts that this line from the scripture stood out to me. They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. With those short and yet powerful strokes, Luke paints a picture of the disciples' reaction to Jesus that is appearing among them. Startled and terrified seems reasonable enough to me, even with Jesus' opening words, "Peace be with you." Wouldn't you have had the same reaction?
These people had been an intimate part of Jesus' life. They'd seen him suffer and had been with him at his death. It's possible that they were with him too when his body was laid in the tomb and was sealed with a heavy stone. So seeing him now in their midst was just more than they could possibly believe. So they were sure they were losing their minds or seeing a ghost. And either of these two options is a better explanation, really, than resurrection. It was difficult, if not impossible, for them to believe that this was really Jesus, alive and well. And so Jesus calms their fears and says, "Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And so they do. They reach out and touch him. And maybe they expected their hands to go right through him, as happens on the TV show about ghosts, because you can't touch or feel flesh in a ghost. But they were able to feel for themselves the scars, the holes, his warm, alive flesh. And with joy and wonderment, and still in disbelief, they marveled at his appearance. So then there's this other funny detail that comes along. Jesus asks them for a bite to eat. Now, maybe you don't know this about ghosts, but they are not able to eat. On the show about ghosts, they can smell food, which is great because Jay is an excellent chef, but they can never, never eat. And consistently throughout the ages, people have understood that ghosts may seem to be solid, but ghosts never eat. And so the risen Jesus, though, now that man can eat. He ate grilled fish in their presence. They witnessed him eating food, and only the living can do that. These details are recorded in the Gospel of Luke, affirm to the disciples and affirm to us the reality of Jesus' resurrection. This passage in particular points to ordinary human actions, talking, seeing, touching, sharing food, connecting this highly extraordinary event with the lives of everyday people. Proof of the resurrection was not made with a booming voice from heaven declaring Christ's presence. It was not made with magical signs spelled out by the stars or planets. It was not made through an earthquake or wind or fire, no. With the simple act of Jesus being with his people in person, talking with them, letting them touch him, and eating with them, that's how we find the proof of the resurrection. Jesus provided the ultimate definition of what following him meant. That living out faith in him was to be done in community, in togetherness, and with one another. As Jesus eats, the disciples lose enough of their fear to draw close and actually listen to what he's saying, and he opens their minds to understand. And by the end of the encounter, they are no longer frightened men. They are witnesses of these things, emboldened for a life that is full of resurrection promise and possibility. And we are not that different from those early disciples. Their faith, like ours, is a mixture of joy and doubt and wonder. And that is good news. They didn't have it all figured out. Doubt is not the opposite of faith, but it is a necessary part of it. Because honestly, in light of all the death and trauma and disappointment in life, it's impossible not to wonder and doubt if the good news of the resurrection is true. But in today's gospel account helps us to recognize Christ's resurrected body along with those disbelieving disciples. And in recognizing his resurrected body, we are invited to celebrate and give thanks for all bodies. The resurrected body of Jesus, our own aging bodies and brand new baby bodies, the slim bodies, the obese bodies, the wounded bodies, the healthy ones too. Because ghosts don't have bodies, but we do. And God so loved us and loved the world that God became flesh and lived among us, died and was raised again to new life, not as a ghost, but as a human body. Christmas and Easter are bookends around the radiant good news that creation is profoundly good. Very good, as the creation story tells us in Genesis 1. So let us use our bodies to give witness to the power of the resurrection in our own lives. Let us use our bodies to serve those who are in need. May our worship and our prayer include not only our minds and our beliefs, but also our bodies, used for touching and tasting and seeing and smelling and feeling the real presence of Christ among us. Let us give thanks for the gift of our bodies and boldly proclaim Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.